Hey, I love Christmas. I told you like 400 times I love Christmas. One of the reasons I love Christmas is because of Christmas movies. Am I feeling me? So like November, like the Monday or Tuesday after Thanksgiving, I went to my AT&T U-verse box, okay? And I searched every Christmas word I could find for all the movies that are coming up. Marcy and I did this one for just endless movies for the kids to watch, but certain ones for family ones to watch, like Christmas Vacation, like Elf. You guys are feeling me here. And so, like, I did these, and I reserved them all. So we've been on this, like, Christmas movie junkie kind of avenue for a while. I love Christmas movies because they always end, I don't know one that doesn't end, in such a joyful tone, right? They always end, like, with everyone coming together, the family comes back together, and there's joy. It's like you just want to sit there under the blanket with a coffee and smile. Just brings joy to your heart. I want to talk a little bit this morning about joy. We're going to dive into joy here for just a moment. Because across life, we all kind of know what joy is. What is joy? Joy is a complex emotion. It is not an idea. It's not a decision. It's not a conviction. It's an emotion. And we all know that emotions can be crazy. Joy can be great one morning, and it can be stolen by the evening, right? If you have a family or if you have children, you know what I'm talking about. You can wake up and do your devotions and spend a great time with Jesus and be all smiles. It's the best devotion ever. And then 2 hours later, you've got a knife in your hand. You're like, run. You know, you get the point. It's like, all right. You know what I'm talking about. Joy can ride through the waves of life throughout hard times, and throughout sadness and throughout happiness. Joy is ups and downs sometimes. And we've all had moments of joy in our own life. You have moments of just true, just a joyous moment. Like when you maybe got pregnant and you've been trying for a while, and all of a sudden you begin to feel the flutters of the baby in your stomach. I mean, I don't know that, but I've heard. I've heard that there's this, yes, like I have this baby in me, and it's a sense of joy. Watching children grow up, learn to ride their bike, getting married, or sitting beside your son singing Christmas hymns, even if you're sitting down next to him holding his hand. For me, it's like a sense of joy, true moment of joy. Maybe it was the first moment you realized you were actually married, and you went through the process, and you breathed, and you're like, I'm finally here. This is now my spouse. Maybe your joy came at the end of a loved one's battle with cancer that lasted for a long time, and you watched them go through everything, but you knew that they knew Jesus, and you know that though they may not be healed here, when they passed, they were fully healed, and their battle was over, and you felt a sense of joy. Despite all the joy that we might feel, sometimes life seems to drown out that joy. When it comes to things like we worry about, like jobs or home lives that didn't work out, or the endless bills and living paycheck to paycheck, oftentimes life can leave us hopeless at times and joyless. But I want to talk about true joy, real joy. Joy that finds its end in earthly focuses is a misplaced joy. When we try to find joy in life, it's really misplaced. There's a place that joy really resides in, that we can have true joy in. It is to be chased all the way to its giver. True joy is to work itself out into a much deeper place, a longing that exists way deep down. Kay Warren, the wife of Rick Warren, says this about joy, really about Christian joy. She says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. See, sometimes we get confused on the difference in joy and happiness. Oftentimes we think of joy as happiness, happiness as joy, and they're not the same. Happiness is fleeting, right? Happiness can be up one morning and down the next. It can be up one evening and down the next. Happiness is up and down. Joy is to be something that's deep in us that is constant. That there's a constant demeanor in our souls as Christians to be joyful. The Apostle Paul talks about this, how he has been content in the ups and downs of his ministry. John Piper says this, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the world and in the Word. Today I want us to see this beauty of Christ. And I want to see it in Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go there. Colossians chapter 1. If not, it'll be right here on this screen. I want you to see just the beauty of Christ. The preeminence of Jesus is what this text is called. And this is going to lead us into taking the Lord's Supper together this morning. Because all the joy that we get to experience in this life are a result of God's goodness and grace. And we must not neglect to be grateful for it and to honor Him because of it. See, true joy is something everyone is seeking after, but only a few find. And this joy is not an emotion, but a person. It's a person in Jesus Christ. And I love this text so much because the person in this text came to earth in a manger, died on a cross for my sin and your sin, was buried and rose to life. And this person puts his spirit in us so that we can have joy. The spirit of the living God comes to live inside of us as Christians and gives us joy. Read with me in Colossians chapter 1, start with verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the first in rank. It's Jesus. He's the first one. Top of the top. He is first in order. Preeminent. Number two, keep going. Verse 16. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. So get this, the visible and the invisible. The things you see and the things you don't see. Things I think about here are things like the wind. I think about things like oxygen. Like, I can't see oxygen. I just know the plants spit it out and allow me to breathe it. Right? The vegetation, everything around us that allows us to have air and allows us to breathe and allows our lungs to be able to go in and out. I can't see these things, but Jesus Christ created them all, made them all. All things. It says, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Not only have they been created through him, but they've been created for him. And everything will ultimately sit in submission to him to bring him glory. And he continues verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. You want to know what's holding your life together right now? You want to know what's holding your heart, what's holding your family, what's holding your mind, what's holding your life together right now? It's Jesus Christ is sustaining it all. One of the things that always gets me is when I think about my own sin and I think about how wicked I could be if in God's grace he didn't hold me back from being it. Think about your sin, the words you say, the things you think, the things you do. How much worse could you be if it wasn't for the grace of God holding me back? Because if my heart gave way to the full ability to sin, who knows what kind of wicked, evil things I could do. But God holds us back. And God opens our eyes to sin and he awakens our heart. We are held together in Christ. Verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Let's talk about the head of the body. The head of the body does what? It looks and it determines where we're going, right? My head is looking straight ahead, I'm going. If I'm looking this way, it's not a good thing, right? I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to hit a step and fall. The head tells you where to go. The head is the one that leads you. The head is the one that keeps you going straight. He is the head of the body. And when churches get the head wrong, they end up in all sorts of wrong theology. This is why here, Jesus Christ is our senior pastor. I'm the lead pastor. I get to help lead us. And we got other pastors who are equally important as me. But he's our senior pastor. That doesn't mean pastors who have the title of senior pastors are wrong. It's okay. But I prefer people to know that we're following him. That we're preaching from his word that we believe is true. We believe that he gave it to us to know him and love him. If you don't believe me, just consider the things. God says we feel convicted. Even though you may not believe Jesus Christ, you may not believe God is real, but what you do know is you do know what sin feels like. You do know what it feels like to do something wrong. You have this moral compass placed in you right now that says this is right and this is wrong, and it's a grace of God to put it there so you'll know right from wrong. You look around in creation, and you look at the stars, you look at the sun, and you look at the moon, and you're going, these things are crazy. All by accident? The body by accident? No way. This is a silly accident. How much faith does it take to believe that this is all an accident? If it was an accident, wouldn't we all look much more alike? Instead of every one of us having differences and distinctness, every man and every woman doesn't look the same. Every one of us look different. And God made it that way. God made it that way. And he loves us. He says he is also the head of the body, the church. Jesus promises that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the first in rank so that he might come to have first place in everything. Jesus wants to be first place in every bit of your life. He wants to be first in your home. He wants to be first in your marriage. He wants to be first in your job. He wants you to be first in the parenting. He wants you to be first. He wants to be first in the way you view your life and the way you view your purpose and your mission. He wants to be first in your bank account. He wants to be first in your life. He wants to be first, not anything else. Not second, not third, first. For God, verse 19, it gets real. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Now, the fullness of God, God's fullness dwells in Jesus Christ, and it pleases God. The fullness of God dwelling in Jesus Christ, and it pleases him. Verse 20, and through him, fullness of God dwelling in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself. Reconcile, meaning bring back together what has been separated. If you have a tumultuous marriage and you're like this, you know it's not good. There's separation. And what it means to come back and reconcile is a hard thing. Bible says we have been separated from God because of our sin. Because of the wicked we do, the words, the thoughts, the actions, all of us we've sinned and departed from God's design for our life, and we find ourselves in brokenness, and that separation is eternal, lasts forever, apart from God intervening. And God has intervened in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He says, through him to reconcile everything into himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus in a manger. But we know his story doesn't end there. The birth of him in the manger, in the little stall there, doesn't end there. He grows up among us, does ministry for 33 years, and then is ultimately taken and beaten and killed and hung on a cross to die for your sin and my sin. He dies on the cross to pay for our sin, because the Bible says that you and I are separated from God and we're in our sin, and God is holy and we are not. And I've got this nice shirt right here, but if I spilled a little bit of coffee on it, I'd be sending it to the dry cleaner or washing it, because at that point, it's dirty. It's no longer pure, no longer white. It's the case for all of us. We've been born into sin. We sit separated from God, and a punishment is coming to us. But that punishment we deserve, God put on his son, Jesus Christ, and he died for us. And I just think about the fullness of God dwelling in Jesus. And when you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says you get the Spirit of God in you. The fullness of God dwelling in Jesus. And when you give your life to Jesus, he puts his Spirit in you. The fullness of the Spirit of God in us, knowing right from wrong, helping us along the way. The Holy Spirit is called our helper to walk the right ways. Some of us are not walking the right way. Some of us, we have foul language. Some of us are talking to our wives like they're dogs. Some of us are bemoaning the children in your home. Some of you are not walking according to God's ways and according to God's commands. And the Bible says that we as the church are called to share truth of the gospel, to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, open your eyes, look at your mouth, listen to your words, look at your life, and examine it and say, is there fruit of a Christian in my life? We should not be deceived if we're talking about the Savior of the world, the one who came to make peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, true joy is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. True joy is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I share this with you today on this day before Christmas Eve because I want nothing more than you to know Jesus. I want nothing more than you to know who he is and what he has done for you. And I ask the question today, do you know him? Do you know him in your heart? Do you have him in your life? Have you surrendered yourself to following him?